Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are, as always, going to be talking money. That's what I do. I've been doing it for 35 years. Helping you get to the point where one day you can say, hey, I made it, I won the money game. And I try to do that with the whole idea of educating you. And if you've been tuning into my shows, you know that one of the key elements that we talk about is you got to be prepared and you got to get your defense in line. And so I'm going to continue. If you are just tuning in, I would encourage you to go to RoyMatlockJr.com and listen to some of the podcast, and because this is the continuation of a three-part, and it's probably going to go into even a four-part series on the four basic fundamentals you have to master with your money, regardless of how much money you earn. You know, I see people all the time and meet with them still to this day, and when I meet with them, you know, I'll have one couple come in and things are great. They're making the same money and have the same kind of job, and then the other one is in a financial turmoil, all kinds of problems. And what is the key to that? Well, usually when I meet with people, they have some basic misunderstandings of how to get ahead. The first thing they want to do is they want to go on offense before they get their defense fixed. The defense is the key element to not losing. And what is the defense? Number one is your cash flow plan. You got to learn how to manage and make sure that you spend less than you make every month. We have a whole show topic just on that on the podcast on how to set up a cash flow plan. The second part of the defense is the emergency fund. That emergency fund is where you go in and develop 3 to 6 months of your living expenses, which will allow you to be able to reduce and cut back on debt because of the fact that you have something to keep you from going in debt. And the third thing that you have to do is eliminate debt, and we have to look at and say, okay, what is, you know, good debt, what's bad debt? And good debt and bad debt is basically the first part of good debt is you can afford it. That's the first thing. Bad debt is any debt that you can't afford monthly easily. And then after you get that squared away, you say, well, what kind of debt is good debt? Well, good debt's debt that's tied to something that goes up in value. That helps, you know, so that could be your home. That could be any type of thing that you're doing when it comes to business debt. You know, big businesses today have debt. That's why we have a bond market. So it's not as if all debt is bad debt. I wouldn't think that if Exxon has a bond that you would look at Exxon as saying they are not responsible because of the fact that they have debt. And so what you want to do, though, is you don't want to get into debt that's the kind of debt that will cause you problems. And so when you're doing anything when it comes to debt, always remember that the key element is that you need to make sure that you can pay for it and never finance things that go down in value. And then we talked a little bit about some of the prior subjects here. We talked about how to get out of debt. So how do you get out of debt? Well, you get out of debt by spending less than you make to begin with. You put an end to the spending, overspending. You get on a plan that will help you get on a track that you know in advance what's going on. And then we're going to get now to the portion of the show that of the four topics, you know, that are part of the defense, and that is how to buy insurance. Now, insurance is designed to take and indemnify you, bring you back to the same. You know, a lot of people think that if they buy insurance, it's like a luxury. No, it's not a luxury. What it is it's designed just to bring you back to where you were before something happened. So we don't make a profit by buying insurance. We just avoid a disaster. So let me give you some disasters that happen. You know, you don't have health insurance and you, number one, I'd be worried about it, but I go into the hospital and I get a major bill, you know, major, I'm in an accident, something happens, I get, something happens bad, I get cancer, whatever it may be. Well, first off, I want to be able to get the best treatment possible. I want to have a health insurance plan. I can go all over the place. But anyway, you do that. And then you survive and you come out of there. One of the biggest causes of bankruptcy comes from medical bills, where you, for some reason, people think it's okay not to have health insurance. And then when they spend their money on other things, get your health insurance. I'm going to talk about how to do that. And then the next thing you know, you're in trouble. And why are you in trouble? Because you just didn't set aside a few hundred dollars a month, whatever it may be. So health insurance. Another example would be you're earning $60,000, $80,000 a year and something happens to you. You die and that $80,000 of income stops. Keep in mind that $80,000, if you're 40 years old and never got another raise over the next 25 years, that's $2 million of income that's going away. And so we need to look and make sure we have that. We need to make sure that we have proper home and auto insurance. That allows us to not worry about getting sued because we took care of that. And so we have all these different kind of things that we need to plan for. We've got disability insurance. That's in the event something happens to where you can't work, or even better yet, you can't do what you were trained to do. And so all of these things make up how to go about getting an insurance plan in place that will keep you from losing. So what we're going to do today, I'm going to go through each one of these insurance plans that you're out there spending money on. You know, many times I talk to people and the first thing that happens, they have something go wrong and their friends say, "Is your insurance going to pay?" Isn't that an interesting thing? Is your insurance going to pay? Well, if you're spending thousands of dollars every year on insurance, wouldn't it make sense to know if your insurance is going to pay? And so when we get through today with this show, if you're listening in right now, you're going to understand clearly how insurance works. We're going to talk about life, health, auto. We're going to talk about everything like that. May even get into something about, you know, annuities. So when you're buying that, they're an insurance product, all those kind of things. But that's what we do each week. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we talk about moving forward. Get your income up, get control of the income, create a gap, create the quality of life that you want to have. I want to encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com. We've got some great downloads that we'll be talking about. I'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, "I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned." You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are going to continue today's show on developing your defense. When we came out of the break, we talked a little bit about the different types of insurance that you will have to put in place if you really want to be protected. And, you know, the one thing I know, I deal with people all the time, and things happen that they don't expect. You know, we have an emergency fund, part of the defense plan to, you know, protect against that. And, but, you know, a lot of the times we don't think that the emergency fund's that important because, you know, you say, well, we can always do this, we can always do that. But the reality is the emergency fund is part of your defense. And then once you have that 3 to 6 months set aside, what are some of the other problems you can run into? Well, you know, you have all these different liabilities that could happen. So I'm going to start out with putting you in a position to become suit proof. And what I mean by suit proof is that you're not a target. And one of the worst things that you could ever have happen is to go out and create some net worth, develop a savings plan, maybe you own a business, whatever it may be, and then somebody decides they want to take it from you. You know, years ago, I was in an auto accident, and the interesting thing about it was all that happened was the interstate, everything came to a stop. I stopped, and my son was in the back seat, and I had to come to a quick stop, and I heard a Coke or something spewing. I thought he was asleep, and I kind of looked back, and I slipped my foot off the brake, and I slid up underneath this big delivery truck. Next thing you know, it hit my airbags. I was just idling, but it hit a big truck. Well, police come, so on. Next thing you know, I get a thing from this lawyer, and he's going to sue me. All right. And because they had all these problems. All right. You know, I hurt this guy in front of me, even though he was in the big truck and all I did was idle in. And then they decide they're going to file suit. Sued me for $250,000. I think it may have had something to do with the fact I had a Mercedes, maybe. And so I get sued. So the good news about getting sued is that I had not only high limits on my liability for my car insurance, had $500,000. In addition to that, I had what's called a personal umbrella policy. And so it went down like this. Get sued for $250,000. The insurance company calls me and says, hey, you know, you got sued and you need to meet with this attorney here in town. I go meet with an attorney. He asked me to give him my cell phone records to make sure I wasn't on the phone doing something stupid. And he asked me what happened. And then after that, it was over. I didn't do anything else. The insurance company argued with these people over 2 or 3 years, went to court, did everything, ended up settling the deal, gave the guy a little bit of money. But I did not involve myself other than I had the insurance company send me letters saying, here's what we're doing on your behalf. So when you buy liability insurance, you're buying a cheap lawyer. So let me give you some examples of things that you want to do. First thing is, when you buy car insurance, don't buy the minimum liability required by the state. You want to go out and you want to buy car insurance and get maybe a $500,000 underlying policy, $300,000, something like that. And what that does is it protects you starting out against getting sued. And so people will sue you if they think they can get something. They will sue you. And if you get sued and you're not protected by buying the proper liability insurance, I'm telling you right now what to do. First thing you need to do is raise your liability coverages. If you have car insurance right now with somewhere, look at your coverage and see what it is. If it's the minimum coverage, understand that if you get sued, the insurance company will settle with them. And then once they settle, they will come after you directly. You buy a personal umbrella policy, $2 million. It's probably $600-800, something like that. It may not even be that much a year. If you go try to explain your case to a lawyer, you'll spend $700-$800 and the lawyer still won't understand it at $300-$400 an hour. It'll take you $3,000-$5,000 to explain your case, not including protecting you on your case. And so I always tell people, what is a personal umbrella policy? It's a very low cost team of attorneys that you're able to pay for $600-$800 a year, something like that. You get a couple million, and you have a team of insurance lawyers working for you, and you don't worry about it. What does your personal liability policy cover? It covers anything with you. It'll also cover your house. All right. So if somebody falls at your house, your dog bites them, there's a million different things, somebody gets hurt. So one of the things that I would most definitely do is take and look at my car insurance and my homeowner's insurance and make sure that I have proper liability coverage. And then from there, I would make sure that I get a personal umbrella policy if, in fact, you have any assets that you're wanting to protect. So one of the keys is, if you don't have anything, they don't sue you. If they can spend $1 to get 10, you get sued. If they have to spend $10 to get one, you don't get sued. When you walk in and you have a problem and you've got a team of insurance company lawyers behind protecting themselves, which is in turn protecting you, that's the sue for $10 to get $1, and it usually goes away. So think in terms, we're taught this is a money show. It's a show on how to protect yourself. So we want to do that. What are some other things that we can do to save money and even maybe pay for that umbrella policy? Get an emergency fund in place. And then once you have your emergency fund in place, look at raising your deductibles on your home and car insurance. Now, these are two things you can do. It's real easy. You know, I have, I think, a $1,500 deductible on my car. I have a $1,000 on my car, $2,500 on my home. And the reason I do that is because, first off, if I have a small deductible, let's say I have a wreck and I scratch my car up and it's a $250 damage and I've got a $250 deductible, I always ask people, would you turn it in to the insurance company? And they say no. And the reason they don't turn it in is because they don't want to get the rates, you know, having a ding on it and stuff like that. And so if you would not turn it in, you're really paying for a high deductible, but you're paying the premium for a low deductible because you're not using it. So in other words, you're not using it, but you're paying for it. So stay tuned. We're going to continue down this boring show when it comes to how to buy insurance. And then what's going to happen is you're going to be on the offense next because your defense is fixed. My name is Roy Matlack Jr. We'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit RoyMatlackJr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999. 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlack Jr., and we are back today talking about the defense. You know, this has been like a show that I love talking about this kind of stuff because, you know, most people, they tell me that, you know, they're insurance poor. And what I mean by that is they say, man, I'm paying all these premiums out. You know, you got life insurance and health insurance and car insurance and, you know, home insurance. And I got insurance on my dog, okay? I got health insurance for my dog and my cat. I've got, you know, insurance if I have an accident. Heck, I buy insurance when I get on an airplane in case they crash, called flight insurance. I mean, they got every kind of insurance. And don't forget, extended warranties are insurance. All right, all these things. Think how much money you're putting out on all of this. You're buying insurance on your cell phone. You're buying, I mean, insurance. Yet, in most cases, you can save a lot of money, do a lot of things if you understand it. When we came out of the break, I talked about liability coverage. And liability coverage is most important because of the fact you can get sued and get hurt. And so it's very important, I wouldn't say most important, one of the most important is to make sure you have proper liability insurance when it comes to your home and your car, because those are things that are kind of sitting there waiting for somebody to get hurt doing. So now once we have that, let's talk about health insurance. So when we buy health insurance, the idea on health insurance is to, you know, put ourselves in a position, really more than anything, to protect us against some disaster. And what I mean by disaster, a $40,000 bill, something like that, a $100,000 bill, or a long-term, you know, hospital stay that, you know, adds up and, you know, major things. Not in order for us to be able to pay $20 and go to the doctor. Now, if you work for a company, what they're going to do is they're going to give you the insurance, a portion of it, and they always come up. It's part of a benefit package. And what they do is they give you this $20 copay. You go into the doctor and you get a drug card. You get, you know, get all these little deals. But and then you pay like $300 a month out of your paycheck. But keep in mind, they're doing this in order to give you something to incentivize you to stay working there. So they are paying maybe $1,200 a month for it, you know, for your coverage, even though you're only paying $300 a month. Now, why does that matter? Well, it doesn't matter if you're working for someone that provides that plan. But there's a big percentage of you listening right now that you don't work for someone that provides health insurance benefits, and you have to purchase it on your own. If you're self-employed, you have to go buy it on your own. Otherwise, you won't have it. So I'm going to talk to you now about the way you look at it. You say, well, first off, go look at what really goes on in your life. And you say, well, over the last year or two, here's what's going on, and this is my health the way it is, that kind of thing. And what you're going to find out, unless you have chronic things already, more than likely you got a sore throat once a year. You had a few little things like that, yet you pay for this Cadillac plan, you're buying out on your own, stuff like that. So I'm going to give you some ideas on how to save money on health insurance, and I'm going to give you some ideas on how I save money and have been doing this for many, many, many years on medical. So let's start out. The first thing is just like on the home and auto, raise your deductibles. Now, you might even want to go out to what is called a catastrophic plan. Now, what is catastrophic? That means that it's a plan that will only pay the big number, all right, after you've settled it. So let me give an example. I have a $7,500 deductible on my health insurance. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that the first $7,500 in a year that I have in medical expenses, that would include prescriptions and all those kind of things going along with it, are not covered. He said, hold on, $7,500. Well, the difference is I'm saving about $7,500 a year just in premiums by having that high deductible. So when I do that, that allows me to go in and go anywhere I want to go to the doctor. I don't have to worry if they're in the system, out of the system. I don't care what happens on that. I'm only concerned if I get a big expense. And then I go negotiate. So I'll give you a perfect example. I had a shoulder problem, and I went and to a physical therapist. When I went to the physical therapist, I negotiated a deal in advance for $99 a visit. So what happened was I went in, I paid my $99 for an hour, which you can't hardly get a physical therapist for $99. But when you pay cash, you can. And I paid it. I handed it to him. When I got there, I got a deal. I went in and got an MRI one time. The MRI, the insurance company was wanting $1,700 for the MRI. I negotiated it down to a little over $400 by paying cash. My daughter, over 27 years ago, she was born. I negotiated with the hospital in advance to pay cash. Saved a ton of money on the delivery. So all of these things happen. If you call the doctor's office and say, what's the cash price? They'll give you a cash price. So what would I recommend you do? I would consider buying catastrophic insurance if, in fact, you are doing it on your own and you have the ability to do it. And what will happen is you will save that money. Now, you can also take that money. You could put it into a health savings account, and that health savings account will give you some tax benefits. And so all of these kind of things are with the goal of becoming self-insured. Why do you want to become self-insured? Because it's much less cost. Once you become self-insured, all you buy is catastrophic on everything. And the truth of the matter is you could become self-insured to where you don't need insurance at all. I don't do that because it's a small amount of money to buy catastrophic everything, and then that allows me to save that money, put it to work. I can invest the savings into something that will grow and that will allow me one day to live on that investment. And so what do? We raise our deductibles on our health insurance. We raise our deductibles on our home and auto insurance. We do all those kind of things. And so once you do those kind of things, you start finding out, say, man, I know what I got. Number one, I'm not insurance poor anymore, and I'm very confident in the event that something happens, I'll be in a position to withstand whatever disaster came along. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, life insurance. How about that? You know, people say, life insurance is favorite subject? Yeah, because more people are getting the wrong insurance, not enough insurance, all those kind of things than ever before. They don't understand it. So my name is Roy Matlock. We'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are back, and we're going into our last segment today. And if you're just tuning in, You can always find all of my shows at roymatlockjr.com. You can go to any of the podcasts that are right there. And also you can go on, you know, iHeart or Apple, whatever it may be, and you'll be able to find all the previous shows. You know, my goal is to teach and educate, because I believe this: once given the education, you're capable of taking charge of your money. Most of the time, we live in fear trying to figure things out because we just don't know. Even though the internet, there's more stuff out there than ever before, sometimes it's overload. And so my goal is to give you the actual answers to the questions that you have. Those questions are the things that keep you up at night, that you worry about. And so what we're going to do now is go into the last segment on insurance that, you know, I think is very important type of insurance. And then we're probably going to roll into some more shows and talk more about it as we go into our offense, which is, that's the exciting thing. Once you get your defense in place, you can put your offense in place. So let's talk about life insurance and what you should buy, what you shouldn't buy, how much you should buy, and for how long. And so what is the purpose of all insurance? The whole purpose of insurance is to indemnify you back to the same, not to make a profit, not to be less, but to bring you back whole. So let me give you an example. If you owned a boat and that boat were to sink, you would want insurance to get you a boat similar to the boat you had. Now, one of the things that would happen, though, if you sold the boat, you would not feel the need to continue to have boat insurance. That wouldn't make sense, would it? Because the need went away, so therefore you don't buy insurance to protect yourself anymore because you don't own the boat. Sounds simple, sounds common sense, but what happens is when it comes to life insurance, people think that life insurance is designed for when you die. It's not. It's not designed for that. It's designed to indemnify your spouse or heirs for the income that you would have earned. So what that means is that if you're making $80,000 a year and you're 40 years old and you're expecting to work another 25 years, there's $2 million of income in the future if you don't get a raise. So that's income that would be missing in the event that you were to die. Your family would lose out. They're expecting that $80,000 a year so they can buy groceries and pay the house payment and raise the kids and send them to college. So now we sit there, we say, well, now that we understand what life insurance really is, it's not for when we die, okay, having it. It's in order to indemnify or replace your income. So now it's a math problem. You say to yourself, well, how old am I? I'm 40 years old. How much do I make? 80 grand. How long am I going to work? 25 years. All right, 80 times 25 is 2 million. Your spouse makes 60. Okay, 60, 25 years if you're the same age, that's 1.5 million. So now your family income or your family business, if you and your spouse are both working, has $3.5 million of deferred income coming in if we never get a raise. So now we're saying, okay, $3.5 million. How much of that $3.5 million would I want to have if something happened to either one of us? And you know what most people tell me? They want all of it, right? Matter of fact, they want all of it and some. And the reason is they expect over time to get a raise, and they do that. So let's say that that was the case. What you would do then is you would buy a life insurance policy that would be enough to pay 80 grand a year along with the earnings from an investment to get you 25 years of income. So if I came back and I said, well, you're making 80 grand a year, that's about a little over 6,000 a month. We want to do that for 25 years. You're going to need about 800,000 of coverage. Now, how do we go about doing that? Well, we take and we say, how much per month do I need? And if I got 8% or 7% or whatever number on, how much would I need in a lump sum to pay that out over that time? Well, at 8%, you can get $6,000 a month for 30 years. How about that? How about that? So you have $800,000. It pays $6,000 a month for 30 years. That's about $72,000, something like that. And you would have that. If you wanted to get $60,000 a year for 20 years, you would get a $600,000 policy. And what would happen is that $600,000 could be invested at 8%, and it would bring back your income. How about that? Isn't that simple? It's a math problem. So what we do is, in determining life insurance needs, we find out what is the income replacement that needs to be replaced. Take your income, multiply it times the number of years left. That's going to give you the total earnings, not including inflation. So then what we do is we buy an insurance plan that will do that. So let's say, for instance, you're 40 years old. You're making $80,000 a year. You come up with that number. You and your spouse, well, you might buy a term policy that's 25 years. Because you're 40, you expect to work till you're 65, so you buy a term policy for 25 years. You buy that term policy, you get income replacement for you, get income replacement for your spouse, put a little bit on your children just for final expenses, because that is in the event something happens to them, not because they're replacing income. So you put a little bit in there like that, and maybe $15,000 or something of that nature. So now you figure that out. You say, I need $800,000. My spouse needs $600,000. I need $15,000 on each of my children. Then you say, well, how much is that going to cost? Well, you got two ways you can buy it. You can buy cash value life insurance, which is whole life. They're called universal life. You got variable life. You've got all kinds of, you know, endowments and all these different kinds of insurance. Some pay dividends, which I'll talk about. You got all this different stuff. But here's what really insurance is. Every one of them has the term insurance element to it. The term insurance element is the death benefit. You pay for the death benefit. So let me give you an example. If you go buy term insurance and you pay $100 a month for that, the equivalent life insurance policy, whole life, might cost $400 a month. Now, the question is, should you pay $100 a month for the death benefit, say it's $800,000, whatever that number is, or should you pay $400 a month for that death benefit? Well, here's the difference. In both cases, if you pay $100 or you pay $400, it pays the same amount of money to the family. So if you understand why you're buying it, it would make no sense whatsoever to pay four times as much for a death benefit than you have to. So I always tell people, never buy anything. Only thing you ever buy is term insurance. You find out what you need, you buy insurance, that's it. Now, what does that additional $300 go to? It goes to cash value. And that, you have to say, well, what does it provide? Well, it provides retirement income that you could use. You can borrow against that money. You can do things like that. But let me give you the insight on it. First thing is this: life insurance agents make way more money selling cash value. The second part of it, so they push it. Second thing that happens is the cash value that you put in, that additional three times $300 a month, it goes, you have no credit for it for usually about 3 years. So all of that extra money you paid in is in fees, pure fees, commissions, all that kind of stuff. So if you buy a term policy for $100 a month, something happens to you, you get the face amount, same face amount that if you pay $400. So where'd all my cash value go? Well, the insurance company and the agents and all that kind of stuff selling it took it. Well, at the end of 3 years, give or take, you'll start getting a little buildup of cash value. Very poor rate of return on it. And then if you ever want to get it out, they'll let you borrow it. And I always say to myself, borrow it? I put it in there. Why do I have to borrow the money in order to get my money out? And they'll even go as far as to say it's a tax-free loan, which, by the way, every loan is tax-free. So I've never gone to the bank, borrowed money, and then they send me a W-2 or something like that saying I owe money on the money I borrowed. So anyhow, but it's just another thing that you don't think about. Now, if you die, the loan is deducted off of the death benefit. Now, let me give you the last thing. Yes, I don't like cash. If you're wondering, I don't like cash value life insurance. I think it's a bad deal. But then the last part of it, let's say you've got $100,000 of cash and you got a $500,000 policy and die. Your family only gets the face amount. They don't get the cash and the face amount. So basically what you're doing is you're paying for two, getting one if you die. You need the money. You have to take a loan on it. It's just a bad deal. So if I were you, I would only buy term insurance. And I hope this is helpful. If you want to go to RoyMatlockJr.com, all of these shows, educational shows, are right here on our website. We put it there. You can listen to this. Pass this along to your friends. Get educated. And once you get educated, you have the ability to make good choices. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. We're going to continue on our next show to go into the beginnings of the offense, which is what everybody wants to know about, which is saving money, getting ahead, getting financially independent. I'll talk to you next week.